I'm excited about this message this week because sometimes I preach what I think is going to be a standalone message, and then it kind of starts growing into a series all on its own. And that's kind of what's happening here, because I preached last week on a way of escape. If you didn't hear that message, I encourage you to go back, go online, go to YouTube, go wherever you watch us, and listen to that message. Watch that message, not because it was me preaching, just because it's a powerful word that we all need. And it was based on 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And so I preached this message, and we saw several truths from this sermon about temptation. We saw that temptation is not sin. We saw that temptation is common to us all. And no matter how big or overwhelming or insurmountable your temptation might seem, it is a common human problem that's been faced and overcome by countless believers throughout history. And we saw that there's really only three types of temptation. We saw that from 1 John 2:16 that says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world." Every single temptation you have ever faced or will ever face is in one of those three categories. We saw that God never tempts us to sin, but we saw that God will allow us to be tempted, but he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. God always provides a way of escape. And we talked about several ways of escape, but we also said that the way of escape is not always an escape from temptation. The text says, with the temptation, God will also make the way of escape. And some people just kind of stop there and don't finish the rest of it. That you may be able to bear it. To bear it means to endure the temptation. It means you resist it, and you stay strong, and you endure. And we learned that there's no temptation beyond what you are able to resist with God's help. In your own strength, we're all doomed to failure. We're in our own strength. But in the strength of the Lord, with Christ's help, we can do all things. And so sometimes it's an escape from, but sometimes the escape is just the power to endure it. And I remember this story I heard years ago about two alcoholics. They lived on the streets, and a revival meeting came to their town, and it was close by, and they saw all these crowds of people thronging into this meeting. So they went to see what was happening, and they went to the meeting and heard the gospel, and they both got radically saved. And they both went their own way. And just happened to run into each other years later. And one of them said, "You know, God is so good. God is so good. When I got saved that night, he delivered me from alcohol, and I've never, ever had the desire to drink again." And the other one said, "Man, that is just amazing. God really is good. But I tell you how good God is to me. Since the day I got saved, there's never been a day that I did not have the desire to drink. There's never been a day that I was not tempted to drink. But by the grace of God, I've never had another drink." Now, which one experienced the power of God? Both of them. Now, we want to all experience it like the first one, where we never have to deal with anything again. But that's because we do not understand the purpose of temptation. You see, sometimes God does that, but sometimes God leaves the temptation to show us that his grace is sufficient. His grace is enough, for his power is enough to empower us to resist that temptation. So as I was preaching last week, as it often happens, sometimes I'm preaching, I'm having these other thoughts going on in my head. It's really a weird thing to experience. But I know God is speaking to me. And so one of the thoughts I had, it just came to me in the middle of the sermon. I quoted the scripture, but it was usually if I quote a scripture and it's not up here, it's usually something that has come to me during the sermon. And it's James 1, 2, 3, 4 that says, consider it pure joy. When everything is going great in your life, you got no problems, no tests, no trials, no temptations. See, that's what we think pure joy is. We are so wrong. So wrong. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you face temptations of many kinds. King James says diverse kinds, different kinds of temptation. Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. I've taught you what persevere means. It means through the severe, through the tough time. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance or patience or endurance must finish its work. And I just spoke for a few minutes on that last week just off the cuff, but I immediately knew that I needed to do a follow-up message called The Purpose of Temptation. I knew that. Now, I know that apples were not involved probably in the original temptation. I don't need anybody to tell me that after church. But they are kind of the it was a fruit. We don't know what kind of fruit it was, you know. But it's kind of the universal symbol of temptation there. So I put it on there. But the purpose of temptation, on a total another note, before I get into this sermon, has nothing to do with what I'm saying right now. Nils and Wendy, I had the awesome privilege of officiating their wedding a couple of weeks ago. Y'all stand up real quick and wave at everybody. This is, yay! Love y'all. Love y'all. And again, my sermon has nothing to do with them at this. I just saw them. I just saw them and wanted to give them some props there. All right. What am I talking about? Oh, the purpose of temptation. This passage that I just showed you out of James shows us the goal, the purpose of temptation, that we would become mature in our faith. If you can please grasp this. This is my message. That is my message in a sentence, and that's going to and I want you to really get this down and learn this today, because it can really revolutionize the way you think and transform the way you think if you can grasp this revelation. But we see a progression in this passage in James. Temptation, as you resist it, leads to perseverance, patience, endurance. And perseverance leads to, as it works in you, leads to you becoming mature in your faith. And as I said, we usually try to avoid all temptation. I understand that. But this passage is saying it's a necessary part of us growing to maturity in our faith. Please get this down. It's a necessary part of growing to maturity in your faith. Your faith must be tested to grow. Testing develops patience, it develops perseverance, it develops endurance, and eventually that leads to maturity. That's why James told us, face your temptations with joy, because it's going to work in you to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate purpose of temptation, to help be part of the process to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. And knowing God's purposes for temptation will empower you to resist it. If you can grasp this today, the enemy has a purpose in temptation, but God has an overriding purpose and he wants to ultimately conform us to his image. And here's some of the ways he does it. Here's some of the other purposes of temptation. Temptation shows us what's really in our hearts. When I studied the word temptation in the original Greek, looking up in all the Bible dictionaries and concordances and tools, that I found that in addition to tempt, it means to test, to put to a proof. Proof as in the word assay, A-S-S-A-Y, which is to test metal. It's a test metal, to test metal to determine it's what's really in this piece of metal and what's the ingredients and what's the quality, how pure of it. How pure is it? That's what testing and temptation does for us. It shows us areas in our life that are strong. It shows us areas that are weak. It shows us areas that are pure. It shows us areas that are impure. It shows us areas where we're totally sold out and committed to God. It shows us areas where we're not so committed to God. That's what temptation will do. And we think so many times that we really know our own hearts. You know how people are always saying, well, you know, you don't know me. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know you. We deceive ourselves about ourselves. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Our own hearts can deceive us about ourselves, but God shows us through testings, through trials, through temptation. It shows us what's really in our hearts, what's really in our minds. Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. In other words, the way they did in the old days, they heated it up and the impurities would rise to the surface and they can pull them off. And so many times in our own lives, when the heat is on, when the heat is on in our life, when things get hard and heavy and it shows us what's really in our hearts. And ultimately, listen, God's purpose is to approve us, to test us, to show us that our faith is real and our faith is strong. God wants to approve us, but temptation can also show us areas in our lives that are impure, the areas that we are blind to. James 1:14 says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Don't blame anybody else. See, if you're blaming somebody else, you don't know what's in your own heart. But temptation has a way of showing us what's in our heart so that we can what? Repent of it. So that we can confess. So that we can turn from it. And by the way, tests are not always about some forbidden fruit but in front of our eyes that we are tempted to partake of. Sometimes, this is one of the big tests that God does. Sometimes God tests us by removing the sense of his presence. He's always there. We know that. But you know there are times when it doesn't seem like he is. Yeah. It happened to King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32. Talked about all the great things Hezekiah did, including building that awesome tunnel in Jerusalem that many of us have gone through where the river flows through the middle of that tunnel. And then in 2 Chronicles 32, after listing all the great things Hezekiah did, it says this in verse 31, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. There are times when God removes the sense of his presence in our life. It's like those times where we've all had them where it just seems like, God, where are you? God, are you hearing me? God, are you answering me? God, what's going on here? I don't sense you. You're here with me like I did before. And see, the enemy then starts to work in that because what the enemy's plan is opposite from God's. His purpose is opposite from God. See, he uses those times to tempt you to turn away from God. See, God's not there for you when you need it. What's the point of all this? But see, if you understand that God has a purpose in these times, all of us, it's common to man, all of us go through these times where it seems like, God, where are you? But God is wanting to show us what was in our hearts, and he wants us in those times to press deeper into him. His purpose is always to strengthen our faith because temptation shows us what's really in our hearts. Temptation also humbles us. Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 3 says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Wow, there's a lot right there. Temptation humbles us by showing us there are things we cannot do, things we cannot overcome, things we cannot resist in our own strength. Listen to me close. Every single one of us has something in our lives that we cannot overcome apart from God. There are some things you can do, some things you can change, some things you can willpower, some things you can do, but there are some things that you will consistently fail to keep you, listen, to keep you pressed into God, to keep you needing God, to keep, because see, we'll get to the place of saying, okay, God, I'm good. If I need you, I'll call you. I got this one. You get to that place, we talked about it that last week. Take heed, lest you fall. But God wants to use those times where it seems like his presence is not even there to cause us to press even deeper into him. Rather than the enemy wanting to pull us away from him, whenever you're feeling pulled away from God, know that's the enemy at work, and you need to act in the opposite spirit and press in even harder. Press in even harder. Temptation humbles us, causes us to press into God. Because listen, we're never going to seek God's help until we know we need it. Jesus said in Mark 2:17, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's saying that self-righteous, people think, I'm good. You hear them all the time. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They're living like the devil, but I'm good. I'm good with God. Okay, Jesus said, I didn't come for you. You think your righteousness is good enough? Go for it. But for those of us who are aware that our righteousness is not enough, our works are not enough, we need something beyond us, we see our need for a Savior. See, the self-righteous don't see the need for a Savior. The self-sufficient don't see the need for help. But it's the grace of God that he allows us to see our own weakness. It's the grace of God that allows us to see our own need for him, because that will continually drive us to him. It's testing and temptation that keeps us humble. And temptation tests our faith and our commitment to God. Deuteronomy 18:8-2, and another version says, remember every road that God led you on for those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits. You ever felt that way? Come on, you know somebody's sitting close to you. You probably felt that way about. You're pushing me too far. But sometimes people feel that way with God. Like, God, you're pushing me. But he's testing you so that he would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Temptations are always a test of our faith. Now listen to this. God's tests are always multiple choice. God's tests are always multiple choice. What do I mean by that? It goes all the way back to the beginning of your Bible in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, when God told Adam and Eve they can eat of any tree. Think about this. God made all these number of trees and fruit and everything, and God said, here, all these are for you to enjoy. Except that one. Now, as soon as God says that, what tree do you think they start focusing on? Same thing happens to us. All these blessings in your life, all these good things for you to enjoy, all the blessings of God, and we forget all his benefits, and we start focusing on this one thing or that one thing. And also, I often wonder, why was that tree there? God's tests are always multiple choice. God gives us free will to choose things. And in order for us to be able to choose, there has to be more than one choice. I just thought of this. Remember that old Saturday Night Lights skit? This is for some of us who are real old, like John Belushi days. What was that restaurant in Chicago where you went and they got cheeseburger, Pepsi? You remember that? Like, you could order anything at all, but all they had was cheeseburger. No Coke, Pepsi. That was it. You could order anything, but no matter what you ordered, you got a cheeseburger. There really was no choice. Okay, I guess I'll have a cheeseburger. God always gives us choices. And it's to test our faith and our commitment to God. And with Adam and Eve, everything was going fine until the enemy came along and tempted them to choose that tree. Choose their will over God's will. Choose going their way over God's way. This is the essence of sin. We like sheep have gone our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's just going our own way, doing our own thing, choosing our will over his. And that battle rages in every single one of us every day. And every day, the verse for us is, choose you this day whom you will serve. Yes, yes, yes. Bob Dylan's saying about it, it might be the devil, and it might be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. Right. It's a multiple choice. And Satan always wants us to make the choice. He's always luring us, always tempting us to move away from our commitment to God. In 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul wrote the Thessalonians about how much he missed them, how concerned he was for them, and how he was going to send Timothy to them just because of his concern. And in verse 5, he says this, I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. In other words, I led you to Christ, I discipled you, and then I had to leave, and now I'm concerned that the enemy comes in. This is what the enemy does with all of us, and try to tempt us to turn away from our faith, turn away from God. That same concern is for all of us. And when temptations, tests, and trials go on and on and on, sometimes people have a tendency to throw in the towel. But DeAndre, you talked about it in your word this morning. What did you say about quitting? Quitting is not an option. Yeah. You've got to get to that place. It is one of the multiple choices. It is the choice that the enemy wants you to make. But you've got to make the choice that quitting is now off of my list of options. I will never do it. I will never turn away from God. But people say, well, this is too hard. I can't keep doing this. I didn't think the Christian life was this hard. And like the children of Israel, we get tempted to do what? Go back to our former life. Isn't that interesting? How the devil is going to make your former life before Christ look so good. And you're going to forget all the heartache, all the pain, all the misery, all the addiction, all the mess and abuse you went through that you received and that you dished out. And he's somehow going to make that good. Think about that. The children of Israel in slavery, in bondage, in Egypt, crying out for 400 years to get released from that. And a little bit of trouble happens in the wilderness, and they want to go back to Egypt. Well, we had garlic and leeks there. You going back for food? Spices? Spices! We're giving up this because of spices. When manna is bland, we want spices. Think about it. Oh, my life in the past was pretty spicy. Oh, well, good for you. What'd that get you? And the enemy can twist things. And when that happens, he's going to tempt you to turn from God. And that's the time to turn to God. That's the time to press in even more. Perseverance. Remember, going through the severe times, that's the test of your faith that builds your faith. Amen. Temptation also teaches us to rely on God's word. We saw that out of Deuteronomy 18. God tested you so that you would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Listen, we've talked about this. No one's able to overcome everything on their own. So many times, even if our spirit is willing, our flesh is weak. Jesus said that in Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. That's enter into it. Not resist it. You're entering into it. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And most of us has tried, you know, talking ourselves out of sinning. Just talk ourselves out of it. And find, you know, we can might maybe do it for a little while, but Satan keeps coming at us and bombards us with more and more temptation, and it gets harder and harder to resist, and we get weaker and weaker, and we've got to understand temptations are spiritual battles. Yes. And they must be fought spiritually, not just mentally. It's only with the help of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the sword of the Holy Spirit, the Bible, that we can fend off our enemy. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now listen, I want you to get this. When Satan, when Jesus tempted Satan in the wilderness, Jesus did not rely on his own divinity to banish the devil. He relied on the Word of God to overcome temptation. For each temptation in the wilderness, when Jesus was tempted, for each temptation, he referred to the Scripture and replied, it is written, it is written, it is written. If Jesus relied heavily on the Word of God to overcome temptation, then we certainly should follow his example. I told you there's only three kinds of temptation we all face. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those were the original three temptations in the Garden of Eden. Think about it. Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her, passively standing there doing nothing. And he ate it. She saw that the fruit was good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasing to the eye, lust of the eyes. And it was Satan told him, it's going to make you like God. You're going to have wisdom like God. The pride of life. Adam and Eve faced these same three temptations we all face. They gave in to them. They failed the test, and sin and death entered the world. Fast forward to Jesus when he was baptized by John. The Bible says he was baptized. The Spirit of God came upon him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He heard the voice of the Lord from heaven. Immediately after that, the very next verse in Matthew 4:1 says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. I'm baptized. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I got a word from God. I heard the audible voice from heaven. And the next thing that happens, me starting my ministry, no, me going on TV, no, me doing all these other massive things for God, no, I'm led into the wilderness all by myself with nobody around to be tempted of the devil. And here's the thing. Remember, I told you last week, Jesus was tempted in all ways like us. Every single way, except without sin. And in the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus with the same three things he tempted Adam and Eve with, and the same three that he tempts us with. And where Adam and Eve failed the test, Jesus passed the test. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. Satan tempted him to turn stones into bread. But in Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus overcame the lust of the flesh with the Word of God. The devil took him to the highest point of the city and to tempt him to throw himself down and expect the angels just to catch him. But in verse 7, Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus overcame the pride of life through the Word of God. Then the devil took Jesus to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and said he would give it to Jesus if he would just bow down and worship him. That's always the ultimate thing with Satan. He wants the worship, and he wants to keep you from worship God. He wants the worship for himself. But in verse 10, Jesus said, away from me, Satan, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus overcame the lust of the eyes, all that he could see with the Word of God. And we've got to do the same. And here's the amazing thing. Every verse that Jesus quoted was from the book of Deuteronomy. They were all spoken to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness failing tests, giving in to temptation. And remember, from last week, everything they went through was an example for us that we would learn from their mistakes and not repeat their mistakes. Jesus was in every way tempted like Adam and Eve, and where they failed the test, Jesus passed the test. Jesus was tempted in every way like the children of Israel, and where they failed the test, Jesus passed the test. Hebrews 2:18 says, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus wants to help us through our temptations, and one of the ways he helps us is by being our example of overcoming overcoming temptation with the Word of God. Temptation teaches us to rely on the Word of God. Temptation teaches us to rely on the example of Jesus Christ. Temptation teaches us to rely on the power of God's Word. Now get this. Resisting temptation builds our strength to resist temptation. Every time you give in, it gets easier to give in. Every time you resist, it gets a little easier to resist. It's like weightlifting. Pastor Dev and I go work out at the Y usually 5-6 days a week. And exercising, lifting weights, causes you pain. It's actually causing micro tears in your muscles. But as the way you grow strong is not through the exercise, but in the rest period, you're built back up. Your muscles are made stronger. And so a reasonable amount of strain, muscle strain, and muscle damage is helpful and, in fact, necessary. Listen. Necessary to increase your physical strength. And lifting weights is not always fun. I mean, it's easier just to go lay out by the pool. Yeah. Watch other people swim laps. I'm at the Y. Here, drinking my Diet Coke and eating my Snickers. They cancel each other out, right? I mean, we get weaker and weaker. And if you accidentally fall in the pool one day, you don't even have the strength to pull yourself out of the water. It happens in real life. If we don't exercise ourselves unto godliness, if we don't exercise ourselves by resisting temptation, if we don't go through this spiritual strength training to strengthen us and give us more power and more resilience, if we don't do that, we get weaker and weaker until we just fall in. And it's hard to get out. And then lastly. Some of your favorite words there. One of your favorite words there, right? Lastly. Temptation, listen close, reveals the depth of our love for God. How that will it will show us. It's easy to say I love God, but the way we live proves it. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How many people have you heard is like, yeah, I'm going to live this way. I know the Bible says not to do this or that, but I love God. But I'm just going to live this way. No. Jesus, words in red letter in your Bible, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Doesn't mean we're perfectly sinless, but it means this, we'll love God more than we love our sin. And when we do fall into sin, we'll be quick to repent because we love God. And the way we respond to temptation shows how we love God. And I'll give you a Bible verse. This is Deuteronomy 13:1-3. An interesting passage. It says, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let's follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. He's saying, hey, if somebody comes along, even if they're doing signs and wonders and miracles, yet they are trying to pull you away from faith in Jesus Christ, don't listen to them. Don't follow them. Listen. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. When we love God, we will resist all temptation to turn from him. When we love God, we will fight the temptation to love our sin more than we love him. When we love God, we'll rejoice in the times of our temptation because we know God loves us and God is using everything we go through to make us more and more like Christ. That is his eternal purpose. So in the future, when you face temptation, you can do what James says and count it all joy. In fact, you can do what Peter said in 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In the past, you could find no joy in temptation and trials because you did not understand their purpose. But now, today, you understand. Now you can rejoice because you do understand God's purpose for temptation. Temptation is showing you what's in your heart. Temptation is keeping you humble. Temptation is proving the reality of your faith and your commitment to God. Temptation proves the depth of your love for God. Temptation leads you and teaches you to rely on the Word of God, and resisting temptation builds your strength to keep on resisting temptation. And most importantly, temptation is part of the process of maturing you and conforming you to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. So, Lord, right now I pray for every single one. God, we're all going through something. We're all resisting something. We're all struggling against something. But, God, our faith is in you. Our heart is in you. Our heart is for you. I pray for those who are struggling with temptation, God, that you would strengthen them. God, that they would see what's in their own hearts. And God, that they would start resisting with the power of God. God, that they would resist with the Word of God. They'd find a scripture passage that fits this temptation, and they would fight Satan with it. God, I pray that you would give them endurance, perseverance, patience. And as they persevere, as they fight and endure, I thank you, God, that they will grow to maturity in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.